if you'd like to hear it, something on a specific topic that's on your heart. And I know some of you are thinking about that and you haven't done that yet, so please continue to think about it. It really actually is wonderful to have that for me, to be able to know what's on the hearts of you, and also to be able to know how God is leading all of us together. This is the third one, and each one has really been helpful, I think, for me as pastor, and also for all of us, I think, because God is showing us through His Word the things that He wants us to know on these subjects. And last week we had one for the youth, and it wasn't really a request, but it was coming through the channels of God working in our hearts together to bring that about, because we celebrated Nikki's graduation from high school, and then we had the praise team there, so it made sense to have a sermon talking about youth, and I think also about adults, right? It really isn't just youth, but it's all of us who are in need of hearing these things from God. So it's exciting to be a Christian, and especially in these times. And today's subject is a really helpful one, because it affects all of us, right? It's talking about loss and then moving forward, right? And so what I take that to be is loss of a loved one, the death of a loved one, and then going forward from there, right? We all have people in our lives, you know, that we care about, and we sometimes take for granted. You know, we're used to being around each other. We know each other, but when there is a sickness or something happens in life, it suddenly points out and underlines just how great of a relationship we have with one another. And it's also interesting when we talk about these things, how the soul becomes involved, right? We hear about the soul, you know, in the Bible, or you know, mostly in the Bible, I think, you know, or someone would say he's a good soul, you know, or something like that. But there is a definite physical, mental, and spiritual involvement in one another, especially evident when we are facing someone's death. You agree with that? You know, we feel that. We feel like, you know, you're going through something. And sometimes we don't know what to do. Right? And so in the event that we would lose someone and they would die, there is a preparation also in the Bible and teaching from the Bible in that area to help us. So what I'd like to do today is talk about, first of all, coping with and dealing with a loss, and how do we do that? How can we find help in that area if someone in our life passes away? And then also some tips on how to deal with that, some practical ways for us to be able to do that. And there's many. I have a few to offer today. And then the second part is going to be looking at 1 Corinthians, what we just heard read, and moving forward. How do we move forward from that time in that way? So if you don't mind, I'm just going to pray. Lord, we thank you for this topic and for the person who brought it to our attention. We pray, Lord, that you'll bless this message today, that it will be helpful for all of us. And we thank you that you are a very, very good and kind and generous God who actually want us to know that you're very near to us in all situations, no matter what we face in life. And so we pray, Lord, that your word would minister to us today and that we would grow in our relationship to you in the way that you desire, and also appreciate the life that we have, and also those in our lives. Teach us, Lord, we pray in your name. Amen. So I'm sure all of us have had an experience of losing someone in some shape or form. I say that because there are people who are very, very close to pets and animals. They become very, very close to their animals, and they feel they're like a family member, right? And then, so we have this kind of relationship. It's not just human beings, but also animals, pets that we have, that we have a relationship with, and we're drawn into that relationship too. But think about it for a moment, you know. It's a very interesting thing that God has designed us in this way. And he has created us in this way so that we have that kind of a relationship. And that we have those kind of things that he's given to us that we, like I said, sometimes take for granted, but they're really a gift from God. But there is also a measure of today's for each life. Right? And so, first of all, I think the best thing for us to do is to start with the verse that we're given at in Psalm 34, verse 18. It's in your bulletin. It is anyway. Yes, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. And so what this does, I believe, is gives us the foundation for our situations when we are facing the loss of someone. We know that God is near. And that is foundational to our lives in general. God is near to us each day. But it says that he is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. And so if you have experienced that, you'll know what that feels like. It is not a pleasant feeling. You feel alone. You feel confused. Sometimes you'll feel lost. You may not know what to do. There are different things that happen in our lives, but immediately the thing that God wants us most to think about is him. In those moments that we trust that we can draw near to him. And that's a really special thing that we have with God, right? You know, and it also points out what people who don't believe in God are missing out on, right? That they don't have that one true God in their life who gave them life to be able to comfort them in those moments in ways that no human being can. But God also uses human beings in our lives, right? To be able to help one another and to be able to encourage one another through those times. But brothers and sisters, it's important for us to keep this verse very close to our hearts. It's short, and it's poignant and very powerful, and it's very, very reassuring, right? So all we need to say is the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. So you go to God and say, my heart is broken in this time. Please draw near to me. Help me through this time. Guide me through this walk, Lord. Help me to be able to deal with this. I don't know what to do. And God is very, very faithful in drawing close to us and helping us in those moments. Right? So those are, that is the first and most important thing, that God cares for you. We were learning about compassion a couple of weeks ago, and Jesus is a compassionate Savior. God the Father is compassionate. And he cares for us, and he cares about what you're going through, and he knows and understands what you're going through. Right? He sent his son into the world. We're going to be talking more about Jesus in just a bit, about all those things that he represents for us to be able to help us to see that God truly does understand. But there are many afflictions, it says in verse 19, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. He is your deliverer. He will help you through these times. He will carry you through. God is very near. He's a deliverer out of the things that we're facing in life. So that is a very important and reassuring thought there. So I wanted to also share with you some tips for grief, for processing grief. And I actually found this on a website that I found. It was very straightforward and helpful because it was a hospice website, and they help people to process the time leading up to a death and also the person who is dying. You know, and again, this is a really great opportunity for us to look at these things together because it's important for you all to know things that you may not be aware of, as I would, as a pastor, and being, you know, in touch with these kind of organizations and the things that lead up to, you know, to a person leaving this world. And so you want to be aware of the fact that there are services and there are people there who are willing to see you through a process as well. And we call that a hospice. It's a place where people will carefully take care of a loved one until the time when they die. And so this is a website that gave some very good advice for someone who is grieving a loss. First of all, allow yourself time to grieve. First of all, allow yourself time to grieve. Remember that there's no timeline as to how long you should grieve for a particular loss or event in your life. Give yourself permission and grace to go through the process of grieving. So it's important for us to be able to understand that there is a grieving time, right? Some people will be like, oh, what's wrong with me? Why am I doing this? Or how come I'm feeling this way? No, you don't have to feel that way at all. You receive it and you feel like, yes, this is a time. This is a human being that I've lost in my life. Someone, you know, it doesn't even have to necessarily be a close relationship, right? I mean, we can watch people on the television who have lost a loved one or something happened and we feel for them, right? And so it's not just that, but it's especially true in our own lives. And we don't want to think about death, right? We want to put it off and think, okay, let's not think about that. But this question today really helps us to prepare for things in that kind of a way. And one of the things you can know when it happens, that a loved one dies, is that you want to allow yourself time to grieve. I remember when I lost a good friend of mine. He was only 20 years old. My best friend. And I was just heart-stricken, you know. I mean, I couldn't believe it. When my father came to the door, my father came to tell me. And I really didn't know what to do. My father didn't know what to do to help me. I mean, he knew him too. But I went to a close friend, and I just stood there and I said, I can't believe it, but Scott is gone. And he invited me in and he said, just sit down. I'm going to give you, he actually brought me into his room. And he said, I'm just going to let you lie down here. You need some rest. You know, so we can really help one another in that kind of a way to spend time with a person and give them that room so that they can grieve. And crying is allowed. You know, I mean, crying in general is a great release of the things that we're carrying inside of ourselves. And of course, we know that Jesus wept when Lazarus died. And he was taken by the loss of him and also of his sisters. And so we need to understand that grieving includes crying sometimes, and you can let go. And let go of those emotions that you're carrying inside. But again, it points out to us that we have a relationship with people that helps us in the time that we're with them when they're not sick and when they're not dying to appreciate them more. Funerals and memorial services are a sad event in our lives, and many times we feel uncomfortable going to one or being in one, but they can be a valuable learning lesson for us. And I'm not just talking about the pastors and what they say. I'm talking about people when they give a testimony. One of the most valuable things I ever learned was that a person got up and said, we need to appreciate our loved ones and the people that are in our lives more. That to me is the biggest takeaway of all these years that I've gone to funerals, is to be taught that simple fact. And it's true, right? We want to appreciate the loved ones that are in our lives, and oftentimes we don't. We let silly things divide us and get between us. But God would have us be loving and caring for one another, and have that mind that is in Christ Jesus, as Paul wrote. Right? So we want to have those kind of things going on in our hearts. It's a big part of our lives every day. Not just in the times when we have sorrow, but when others have sorrow, and God uses us to help one another. So the second one, give your sorrows over to God. Give your sorrows over to God. Pour out your sorrows before God, because he will provide comfort. And that's from that verse that we just read. There's another verse, Jeremiah 17:14, the beginning of this says, heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. So you can pray to God and say, will you please heal my sorrow, heal my heart, help me, Lord, to regroup from this, to be able to overcome this time, but heal me, Lord. Ask God to heal you. It's a very powerful means by which we can do that, and it's a biblical word from God that is spoken to that way. Not just only that we would be healed physically, but that our hearts would be healed from the sorrow and the sadness that we have when we lose someone. Another good suggestion is to talk to someone. Like I just told you, I went to a friend of mine who I trusted and I spoke with him. You know, it's often helpful, they wrote here, to talk to someone about your grief, whether that be a friend, family member, a therapist, or a pastor. And this can help you process what you're feeling and begin to work through it. And so I like the way that they say that, to work through these things that you're going through, because there's a lot going on. We are very complicated beings, right? We are very complicated. Don't you agree? I mean, I don't mean that in a negative way, but there's a lot going on inside of us. I was thinking about how, you know, how much we can retain. You know, I mean, it's quite amazing, the brain and the way that God has designed us, and to be able to see all of the information that is being thrown around and being taken in and being used in the world, and that God has given us that ability to process it. But he also wants us to process what is going on in our hearts and our minds with our relationships. He wants us to be considering someone, right? The consider is a big word in the Bible. Consider your relationship with someone, right? I'm not saying it's going to be easy always, okay? There are some that are very tough to get through, and you're going to feel like, oh, I'm not there yet, you know? But God is patient. God is very patient. Don't force things to go where they're not going to go in, you know? Give it time. Maybe that's a sign that you need to move on. Like, I know at one funeral I attended, a relative came up to me and said, this person came over to me and they said, I know what you're going through. And she said, I don't know. I know they don't know what I'm going through. And I know she was upset. And so the timing for that person saying that to her wasn't the greatest. But people are trying to do something to help. And we need to take that into consideration. But those kind of feelings are going to be with us sometimes. We won't be ready to talk to someone. We don't want to hear anything. Maybe you're not hearing anything at all. And that's why it's good to go away and to be alone for some time to sort through it yourself. But when the time comes, God will make the way ready so that you can process it and then go and talk to someone about that. And even talk about the person that you love, that you've lost. And recount the things that that person has meant to you in your life. So God works us through those times of sadness to come to that place where you can take joy in that person again. And remember them in that kind of a way. And even sometimes people that you didn't feel like, you know, really spending much time with, but God put them on your heart in a new way. And he does that kind of thing for us. So it's important to also understand that, you know, when we go to a trusted person for help like that, it can really help us not just to hear what they have to say to us, but to be able to talk to someone and let them listen. Listening is a great thing to do as a counselor or a person for someone going through grief. You don't have to say very much. You take their hand or you can just nod and acknowledge what it is that they're going through and be with them. And that goes for any time. The next one is journal your feelings. I don't know if you're into journaling, but writing down your thoughts is also an excellent way to do that. I think, you know, there's websites where a person might have a burial in a funeral home, and you can go on there and you can write down some thoughts about that person and share them in that kind of a way. That would also be a type of journaling, you know. It could be writing a few words, and a lot of people use Facebook or another social media to say, I lost this wonderful person in my life, but they meant so much to me. You could do that, or you could take a journal and start to write down thoughts for yourself and just think about that person in that kind of a way. Journaling is a great way to get all your thoughts and feelings out on paper. Not only does this allow you to see them more clearly, but it also provides an outlet for the emotions that are swirling around inside of you. You don't hold everything inside, right? I know that it's tough and you feel like, oh, I need to just be tough through this. You don't have to do that. God will meet you there too if that's what you want to do. But journaling is a great way, I think, of getting our thoughts written down. It doesn't have to be a lot. And lastly, remember that God is with you. One of the most powerful things we have to hold on to in seasons of grief is the truth that God will never leave us. He promised to be with us always, so this should give us great hope and encouragement as we go through the mourning process. Wonderful things people write, right? They use the internet for good things like this to be able to help other people. If you want a copy of that, I can tell you where to find this. So that is one aspect of losing someone, and I think that those are helpful pieces of advice to mourn and to go through that process, right? And then the idea is, and that's just an intro. I know we can't talk about everything today, but the other part of the request was moving forward. Okay, so moving forward, and that means, okay, how do I, I've just lost someone who means a lot to me in my life, and I'm heartbroken. How can I deal with that? Well, there are a lot of people that have written about this as well, but the Bible has wonderful things to say to us, and I want to share some of the thoughts that we find in the book of Corinthians. And it's in our scripture reading today, chapter 15, 51 to 58. Corinthians 15, 51, 58. The whole chapter 15 in 1 Corinthians is really inspiring. And having to do with the resurrection of the dead and what happens to the body when it's resurrected. So let's get into this a little bit from what Paul has to say from that verse. I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. That's the first verse before it. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. And so what this does is it helps us to be able to see hope in front of us, right? And not just hope for going on and having, been renewed in by the Lord to deal with the loss of a loved one. It is the faith that we have in Jesus Christ that we have that is most important. And it is that hope and that assurance that we have eternal life through Jesus Christ that helps us to move forward. That is the way that we move forward. It is the hope that we have, and the way that Paul says this so great. The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. That's death, right? But thanks be to God who gives us victory over death through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the framework that we go into when we are moving forward in our lives, that we know that we are going towards that day when we will spend eternity with Jesus Christ. Why? Because his death on the cross and his resurrection results in that life for those who believe in him. Right? And so when we think about it, really, in going through mourning and then having that time of moving forward, it's all found in Jesus, isn't it? Jesus died. He went to the grave. His disciples were all mourning, weren't they? They were all going through that time of sorrow. They were experiencing the loss of their Savior. They were all confused. All those things that I said, right? Confusion, disillusionment, feeling like, was he really, the Son of God? Was he everything he was supposed to be to us? What is going on here? We saw him killed in such a terrible way, all this trauma of going on in the lives of those people. And then, boom, an earthquake, right? An earthquake comes, and this big rock is rolled away. An angel comes and says, "Why are you looking for the dead among the living?" And that is hope. That is instant hope. And that takes them and gives them hope to move forward. They were in this state of mourning because they thought that it was death only that had the grip on their Savior and that their lives were affected in this way. But then they saw Jesus resurrected and appeared to them and commissioned them to do his work of sharing the gospel. And they took off with that in their hands and they became his witnesses. Filled with hope, moving forward, going towards Christ again to the day where he will come and the trumpet will sound and Jesus will receive all those who believe in him into his kingdom once and for all. And so those are the things that God gives us in his word today, right? And so thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. You can think of it in this kind of way. I have now lost someone in my life, yet Christ lives, right? Christ lives, and I have work to do for his kingdom, right? I am alive and well, and he has helped me to deal with this loss, but Christ remains the focus of my life. He is my hope, and I'm going to move forward in that way. At the same time, what do we think about? Those people that we lost, we keep in our hearts. We keep in our memories. The memory is a fabulous thing to be used for many positive, good things. And one of them is to remember loved ones. I want to take a little segue just to talk about that for a moment, okay? Just think about the way that we're created, right? We have this, we develop a relationship with someone. We get to know someone. We've gotten to know each other, right? A relatively short time for some of us, you know, in the scope of the length of our days. But we have these experiences and we have people in our lives and they mean something to us. And we go through things together. And we go through great things together and happy things together and fellowship together. And then we also share sad things together. Sometimes the sad things have more of an impression on us than the others and make us even stronger during those times because we realize that we're there to help one another in those kind of situations. Right? But I was just thinking about this. This week about how marvelous, how beautiful it is that God has designed us in such a way that we possess memory in our brains, memory in our hearts, those kind of things that help people's lives to be impressionable on us so that we're not just creating something with our hands, but God is taking those people that he has created and putting them into our hearts and putting them into our lives, putting them into our senses, putting them into our very being so that even family members look like each other. That people even that are not family members begin to be so close that they have things about them that are very similar. Think about it. And of course we're going to feel sad if we lose someone like that in our lives. But God is still there, isn't he? It's the same one that gave you those people in your life. He's still there presently. He's not like saying, okay, I'm out of this now. I gave them to you for that time and now I'll just move on. And that was my gift to you for the time they're alive. No. I mean, think about the jailer, right? He has received Christ and not only him, but the entire household. The entire household has come into this awareness of Jesus Christ, the Savior. Their lives were changed completely forever. And that remains into eternity for those who believe in Jesus Christ. And that also underlines the importance of us being his witnesses to share what that means. And you all have those ways that God has given you a gift to be able to share that. But most of all, appreciate the creation that the people are in your life. Even the animals that God has given to you and put into your life, those things to bless you. He would never hurt you. Right? Never hurt you. You can go to him and then learn the even deeper things that come in that experience that he's wanting you to know. But let's begin to love and appreciate each other more with the time that we have now. not being afraid to go there. What did we learn last week? I have not given you a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and self-control. Fear goes away, and God comes in with all of his strength and his power. And he helps us to be able to have those senses of those people in our lives and to love them that way. But also, if we know them and they need Jesus, help them to know. In the timing that God gives you, in the time that we all have, life is not just done like that, right? I mean, things don't just happen like that. Sometimes they do, like an earthquake. But we all need time. Maybe we could kick time more in our days to consider those people, to consider who they are to us and what God has given to us and those people in our lives. And for yourself too. Who are you in God's eyes? Do you look down on yourself sometimes? Are you feeling like, you know, you're not adequate, or are there things going on that makes you feel like I can't do what other people do, or is there something that you're struggling with that? You can take that to God as well. And ask him to show you the greater things that exist that are not evident to the human eye, the things that really count. Go into his arms. Go into his being. Go and be one with him as much as you possibly can. I just wanted to share that. But there's three things, okay, moving forward. I want to finish with it. There's a thought that I want to share about someone who talked about this before I end. But let's go to the end of this passage because it's important. Therefore, my beloved brothers, these three things. Be steadfast. How do you move on? You be steadfast. Steadfast how? In faith. Hold on to your faith. Do not get so involved in a loss that you give up your faith in God. Never do that. He is your only hope, right? Be steadfast in faith, and that faith is going to carry you into places in this world. Sometimes you may go to a foreign country. You don't know it. There's so much need. One of our missionaries, I can't mention her name because she's in danger where she's serving, but she said, please send people to help these children in this refugee camp. And she's been doing it for years. Are we going to listen to that? There's sorrow going on there. There's great loss there. Are we going to do that? Right? Things like that happen. How can we get involved? Maybe God is going to use you in a way like that, to send you over and to make a difference in the lives of children that that don't have what we have. Okay? So, first of all, be steadfast in faith. Be steadfast. Don't move from your faith. Hold on to God. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Second, be immovable. Right? Don't sway into other faiths. Don't be swayed by other beliefs. And there's so much written about that in the Bible of Paul urging Timothy himself, very strong in the faith. The one that he was saying, you know, don't let people despise your youth, but be an example to them in these things. He was saying to him, and don't let the other philosophies draw you away from your faith. Why would he ever have to say that? He's a strong man of God, isn't he? He's being sent to the church in Ephesus as a person in Christ that's going to help them to know about Jesus. But he says, don't be swayed by those people that are coming in around them now that are pulling them away from Christ. So that's a warning to all of us. We need to remain immovable in our faith and our allegiance to Jesus Christ, because he is the only way, and he's the only way to eternal life. Right? And then the third thing is always abounding in the work of the Lord. Spend your time in the work of the Lord. Right? There are so many different ways that we can do the work of God. I feel that the biggest way is to pray and ask God, what should I do? Do you know, in the book of Acts, Paul was retelling his story of conversion when Jesus met him on the road, and he was retelling the story, and it doesn't say this in the explanation by Luke when he describes it, but Paul told them at that point when Jesus was speaking to him and he looked up at him, he said, "Lord, what should I do?" Biggest thing you need to do in your life. "Lord, what do I need to do? What do you want me to do?" All you have to do is ask. But you have to be ready, because he's going to do it just like an earthquake coming. Boom. He can make himself present in that kind of way, but the answers from God come when we ask him. "Lord, what do you want me to do?" And he will show you. And there are other ways too. There are things that we can talk about here in our church that need to be done, right? And to reach people with the gospel in different ways. And we pursue those, right? But each person individually is called by God for a purpose. And so we need to ask him that question. It might take a little bit of doing and some courage too, because he is going to answer you and he's going to tell you what he wants you to do. The thing is, we want to ask him what he wants us to do. And so those are the three things to move forward. I've lost someone in my life, but now my life has meaning. And also, when that person is a believer in Jesus Christ, I'm going to see them one day in the kingdom of Christ when he returns. That is the impetus, right? But Jesus told his disciples, "Go and tell people about me. Go and tell people about me." We need to ask ourselves that question. Are we doing that? Right? That's a very important question to ask ourselves. In which way am I exercising the authority of Christ in my life? How am I exhibiting his authority in my life? How am I showing my obedience to his will and his life? Very simple questions, demanding ones, but it goes, again, it's this question, what do you want me to do, Lord? And he will show you. So the last thing I wanted to share with you is from John Piper. John Piper actually kind of helped me when I was first considering these things many years ago. He gave a testimony about when he got cancer. And he was sitting in the examining room, and he had just been told, you know, that he has a tumorous growth of some kind, and he was waiting for them to come back with the results. And he said, "I have to tell you, with all, you know," he's a pastor, a very well-known person, very, very famous, wrote wonderful things, but he said, "I panicked." I was thinking, "Oh no," you know, but then he said, "Okay, I went back and I reviewed the scriptures that God had prepared me to read for this moment, and I want to read one that really made an impression on him. It's in 1 Thessalians 5:9-10. It says, 'For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him.'" And those are the words that went right into his heart and eliminated all of the fear and panic and replaced him with great hope. "He died for us so that whether we are awake, alive, or asleep, dead, we might live with him." And those are the words of great hope that help us to move forward the most. To know, even in those moments where we are faced ourselves with a time when we are given a very distressful kind of an exam result, or something like that happens in our lives, that we know that nothing can take my life away from me, because I belong to the eternal God. Amen? Those are the things that we hold on to in our faith. And those are the things that we have to be spurring us on in our faith in the world, to be able to let other people know those things. Because we don't want them to be lost, right? We don't want them to be losing out on this great, great gospel that we know about. So we want to do that in a loving and caring way. And also use opportunities when we have with people that are going through things to reassure them that God is there. Simply that. Praying with them, taking their hands and saying, "Let's pray together. I want to pray for you." You'll be amazed at how many people receive that and say, "Yes, please." And their lives could be changed in that instant. All right, so there are different things that we talked about today from that one very, very helpful question and request today, right? that God is speaking to us about. First of all, God is very close to us. He comforts the brokenhearted. In that moment when you suffer loss, you're not alone, and you can turn to Him. Also, reflect on your life and the person's life that you've lost, right? Take time to grieve. Allow yourself time to go through that process, and there's no time limit. Everybody's different in that kind of a way. Let yourself, you know, experience the things that you want to experience, and then use that to be, when you have more strength, to tell other people and to journal or to tell other people about that person so that they really live on in your life. And then when you have gone through that process and you feel that you're at that moment where you can carry on and you feel that you're ready to go, then dedicate your life to God and say, Lord, what would you have me do now? What do you want me to do, Lord? I know that I'm here to do your work. Please show me how I should do that, what that means, and I will follow you, and I don't know how I can do it in my own strength, but through your strength, Lord, I will obey you and see that God has given you that so that you can understand that even in times of your own life, facing troubles in approaching death, that He is near to you and that there is a future coming when we will all rejoice and share in this great moment where Jesus returns. And we have this celebration of worship in heaven together forever. Let's pray. God, thank you for loving us and caring about us and being so involved in our lives, for putting people in our lives, Lord, that we know, and help us to love them more and more and to consider these things that we've learned today from your word, Lord, as being a help for us to be your workers in this world. People that are sometimes doing physical work, but mostly going and showing people that God cares about them and that you love them so much that you gave Jesus for their sake so that they would be saved. And so, Lord, this is really an offering to you, Lord, today of our time together, the church, that we would grow in our relationship closer together and appreciate one another more and more, and rejoice with those who rejoice and cry with those who cry, mourn with those who mourn. Lord, we go through things together. We're not alone. We just thank you, God, that you are there for us. Bless all these things, these thoughts, Lord, as we process them, and help us to be able to digest them, Lord, and to be able to see with a new awareness of the great things that you have done and that you're going to do. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.